Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my heavens!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
Yes! It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Thursday, January 17th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you feeling? Only a couple days away from what you and many others consider the best day in the entire football calendar. You starting to get as excited as Tim Tebow at a Jets press conference?
I don't know if anybody could be that excited.
Fair.
I'm certainly not as, how should I say, scared to hell as Adam Gase. But what do you think of Corey Parsons' commentary yesterday on the morning after that? He said, we need a new lead-in show. It's no good.
Oh, yeah? He said that our show was no good. Interesting. Well, All I would say is that, you know, the critics disagree because we are one of the finalists for the best radio show in the industry as per
Excellent
the FSTA.
Point. Yes.
You know, so, I mean, we are critically acclaimed. So, you know, I love Corey and all. He could say whatever he wants. But, you know, the experts disagree and, in fact, consider us one of the best shows in the entire industry. That's all.
Yes, I told him the show's better than ever, and I think that is proof. Yes.
Well, there you go. There you go. In any event, as we keep it going, here's what we're going to get to this hour. We got, you know, AFC and NFC championship games. We'll look into those. We'll look a little bit into how to win a little bit of money on Sunday. We also got our boy Davis Maddock, who has joined, you know, Roto Experts as a 365 football site, and he's got some strategy for the conference championship weekend. We'll get into that a little bit as well. But I want to start with our news and notes, Scotty. You know, Stratford said it at the top of the hour. It looks like the Jags have made a couple of moves. They've hired John DeFilippo to be their offensive coordinator and the play caller. Remember, he was the OC over at Minnesota who got fired after that Monday Night Football game against against Seattle. But what I think this is interesting about this is John DeFilippo used to be the quarterback's coach where in Philadelphia a couple years ago. So he has experience working with who Scott yesterday we said was probably going to be the number one veteran pro free agent quarterback available, Nick Foles. And it seems like the dots are being connected that the Jags may make a run at Nick Foles and that John DeFilippo as the OC is kind of, you know, helpful in that recruitment. What say you, Scotty?
I think when you look at John DeFilippo, you know, the fact that he got fired from Minnesota is not too inspiring, but
sure.
If you're putting two and two together, it's obvious. You know, he hasn't had a great run. Like, he never did anything great with the Raiders or the Browns. He's kind of bounced around the league, and a Jacksonville fan might go, you know, here's another inspiring hiring. But, you know, if they want it, look, you know, some of the best teams in the league have great quarterback coach combinations, and you know, they're looking at this as these guys have worked together well in Philadelphia before, so you know the map is there. We're already seeing rumors that that the Jaguars are going to make a strong push for Nick Foles, and I think it's a good fit.
Yeah. Listen, we talked about this. You and I both think that Nick Foles is kind of like the best available experienced quarterback that's out there, right? There's the draft route, and then there's the kind of free agency or trade route, and we think that Foles is the best option of those that we think are probably available, right? There are some other names that may shake loose via trade or because of some coaching transitions, but out of the names that we thought of yesterday, Foles is probably the best option, so it makes sense for the Jags to go out there and make a run because we all know that quarterback is their, you know, most important position of need. Hey, Scotty, something else I saw. There are reports out there that, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks may actually go ahead and cut their Pro Bowl / All-Pro defensive tackle, Gerald McCoy. McCoy has been like that one stalwart on the Tampa Bay defense, getting almost no help for the better part of the last, what, decade. He's coming up on his age 30-31 season. I think there's still 2 or 3 years left on his contract. Do you think this is viable? Do you think this is a good move? And then here's the other thing I was going to say. When we were doing team-like autopsies last week, we talked about one team that really just needed one difference maker on defense. Could the Chargers be a team that could take a guy like McCoy to put in the middle of that line with Bosa and Ingram on the outside?
Yeah, they certainly could. You know, they want to bolster that defensive line a little bit. You know, but this guy has played really well for a long time. 54 and a half sacks, 123 games, but you know, but this team needs to free up salary cap. You know, they're about 16.5 million under the salary cap, and you know they could. They're saying maybe William Golston can sort of fill that spot if he leaves. Mm. You know, they have to. The reputation isn't as good as the performance was this past year. He was the 30th ranked interior defensive lineman who at least played 20% of the snap, according to Pro Football Focus. Mm. So I think they get to a point where they feel maybe his best days are behind him and he's replaceable. And this team really needs to free up some salary cap room if they want to make a run at a guy like Mark Ingram and also improve other levels of the defense. They need to free up some cap space.
Right. No, I understand that. And that's also why, you know, there's no chance in most people's opinion of a guy like Adam Humphries returning to Tampa Bay or even a DeSean Jackson, that sort of thing, because of the financial concerns. And here's what I would say on McCoy.
I think you're right. There's no chance with Humphries. You know, if they free up somebody cap wise, you know, maybe they decide, you know, they want him back. So I would say Humphries is probably likely to leave, but I wouldn't say it's 100%. And why would they want DeSean Jackson back, at least from my perspective? You know, the guy has never been dependable. They can push Chris Godwin into a more primary role, or they can get Humphries back. I think Humphries, though, would probably be more of a primary receiver somewhere else. Right. So I think he's likely gone. But, you know, look, maybe for all we know, maybe they want to clear that cap room so they can keep a guy like that.
Yeah, but at the same time, Scotty, you made the point. If they need to clear some space, right, and they still have what many people believe is a top tier wide receiver in Mike Evans. Everybody's expecting kind of some another step forward from Chris Godwin. You'll have the returning kid at tight end, OJ Howard. So if you have that kind of stable of pass catchers already, and Adam Humphries is going to command a little bit more on the open market because someone may view him as, you know, a wide receiver two or something like that, and you have your own financial concerns, I just don't think it's going to fit. I think Humphries will get offers that are a little bit too rich for what Tampa, given their financial constraints and the fact that they already do have other pass catchers, I think the going market for Humphries is going to be too rich for the Buccaneers' blood.
Yeah, I already saw one article where they were speculating maybe the Eagles could make that defensive line even better
by picking up
a guy like that. You know, we saw with Michael Bennett that they're certainly not against going out and getting veteran defensive linemen. You saw Bennett could still play, but they would save $13 million under the salary cap. That's significant if they get rid of him.
And, interesting. You know,
they're going to change the scheme as well. So
right, with Todd Bowles coming in,
he may not fit.
That's interesting. So we'll keep an eye out on that. And listen, as we move along into February and March, we're going to hear a lot of the quote-unquote salary cap casualties. And it's interesting that McCoy may be one of them. Scotty, honestly, man, I'm worried about Cam Newton. You know, we continue to hear more stuff about more people in that area or in that kind of, you know, in that sphere of influence with the team, really starting, you know, it's kind of like how in politics, how people send up what they call trial balloons, right? And just start throwing bits of stuff out there in the public to see kind of how it reacts, you know, and stuff like that. And I just think that they're starting to put more information out there. They're like, oh, Cam Newton may miss the year, you know, and that's an okay thing, you know, almost like it's starting to create the narrative so that if and when an announcement comes out, you know, it's not as big of a blow. I think Cam Newton's 2019 is in real danger, Scotty. What do you think?
Yeah, ESPN, you know, the owner, Tepper, was saying yep. that you have to keep your options open and keep as much cap space as you possibly can. According to ESPN, they currently have $25 billion in cap space. That's among the bottom half of the league. You know, they could clear cap space by releasing Matt Khalil. Maybe Captain Munderland. Maybe sign a veteran quarterback. You know, maybe a guy like Joe Flacco is like a bridge answer in a place like Carolina.
Tyrod. I think Flacco's going to want to be in a spot where he thinks he can be the guy, you know, and that he doesn't think he's just a 1 year keep the seat warm because
right.
an
That's
obvious guy.
Where Tyrod would make more sense, yeah.
Right. You know, something like that. But, I mean, who knows? We'll see. Let me ask you this, Scotty. Who do you think will play more games in 2019? Cam Newton or Kareem Hunt?
I think they both won't play any games.
You think the answer is zero for both of them?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. So you don't buy this idea that maybe the Bears are keeping the door open for Kareem Hunt?
Yeah. I don't think they are. Just after what they caught on film, I'd be surprised if he plays in the NFL again.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But with great talent comes great leash, shall we say. But that's interesting.
Also,
right?
Also, the New York Post raised the possibility of, and it's always going to happen, about the Panthers signing Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And let me tell you something, though. What's really interesting because, you know, the reason I thought about Tyrod, especially over Flacco, is because this offense is already built for a guy like Cam who has some rushing ability, right? And that threat is still there in the Panthers' offense, and that's kind of what a lot of their offense is based on. So that's why I thought about you needing a quarterback that maybe does have some of that mobility to be a fit in that offense. That's part of why I thought about Tyrod. But obviously, Cap would fit that dynamic too. Okay, what if I said
think,
this?
I think with the old cliche, there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
Does it apply to Kaepernick? Every time
it
starts.
No, I'm saying I think it applies to Cam, Scott. I think it applies to Cam. This smoke about him not really being able to play.
Oh, yeah.
That's the smoke I think there's real fire around.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with that. What I'm saying about the Kaepernick thing is as soon as a starting quarterback goes down or a spot becomes available, everybody says Kaepernick, and it just doesn't happen. I think we're past the point where we're going to see him play it again.
Yeah, I agree with you. The way I feel about that is a different story, but I agree with you.
Oh, it's
totally
different, yeah.
Yeah, listen. I mean, and now we're also getting to the point where teams can also make, like, what's a valid argument that he hasn't played football in like 2 or 3 years, you know? And at this point, that now becomes a valid argument. That was not the case, a year ago or a year and a half ago.
I'd still take the shot over, you know, some of the garbage that's out there.
Yeah. Listen, if you want to tell me that you don't think he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks on the planet, okay, fine. Maybe you can make that case. But as you've seen, you know, football is a dangerous sport and it's a war of attrition. There's no way you can tell me, especially like a year ago or a year and a half ago, that he wasn't one of the best 64 quarterbacks out there or even 96 quarterbacks out there, because there were some teams that were going to their third and fourth option without considering it. But I digress. We'll move away from that. But it is interesting, getting back to Cam, that it seems like, to use that term, Scotty, it may be more than just smoke around his shoulder and the extent of that and what the Carolina Panthers may need to do for the long term for their franchise QB. Right, Scotty?
Yeah, but you see it all these reports and, you know, when the owner kind of concedes it.
That's right.
There's a lot of authenticity to it.
Yeah, like when the top of the food chain is saying, like, oh, he's kind of okay with it, it kind of clears the path for the coach and the GM to start talking about, like, that that's the best decision for the organization and what will help the team win in the long term, that sort of thing. But I digress. Hey, Scotty, AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday. As always, Wednesday is the beginning of the practice week, right? So we're starting to get practice reports on players. I think, listen, you know the old saying, like, if I can walk, I'm going to go, right? I guess the only player that is on my radar as someone who may be a fantasy viable person that is still, you know, injured, to be quite honest, is a guy who did in fact get in a limited practice yesterday, although he was limited in practice all last week and ultimately didn't go. Scotty, I'm talking about Chiefs running back Spencer Ware with that heel injury. Now, I know Damian Williams has performed admirably in his absence, but what do we think about Spencer Ware? Because let's put it this way. I'm not saying that he's in such an explosive guy per se, but if he is active, if he's up, if he's out there on Sunday against New England, it certainly has the potential to eat into the Damian Williams, you know, touches and production. What do we think about Spencer Ware and his heel?
If he plays, and we've been waiting for weeks, and he's continued to be active, I think he's just change of pace. I think Damian Williams is still the clear guy, still the clear lead running back. If it's very cold, maybe they want to use both of those guys, but I would say Ware to a lesser degree. But you know, Damian Williams has proved that he's more explosive and more has more upside and more of a ceiling, not just from a pure NFL perspective, than Spencer Ware does. I think he seized that number one job. I really do. I just don't think Spencer Ware is dynamic, whereas Damian Williams can be dynamic. And even if his touches get reduced by a few, I feel like the guy can make the most of every carry.
Okay. No, fair enough. You know, I'm just talking about, like, I agree with you. I think Damian Williams is the lead dog, regardless of if Spencer Ware is ready to go or not anymore. I'm just talking about in terms of, like, the balance of touches. You know, Damian Williams had it all to himself. It's kind of like, could we see a situation where, you know, what I don't want to see, let's put it this way, is what people saw with the Rams last week. Everyone's expecting Todd Gurley to have, you know, a 95% of the workload, and then all of a sudden he actually only has a 70 or 75% of the workload or even less. You know, with the Rams, it was CJ Anderson that took a lot. Like, I'm just wondering if there's people playing Damian Williams, let's say, in DFS this week, right? And part of it is because they expect him to have 95% of the touches. Is it viable to actually say, because Spencer Ware is there, that he may only have, you know, it may be more like 70-30?
Yeah, it could be 70-30. Very well could be. Could be 65-35. But I'll still take Damian Williams to be the main guy to get in the end zone and fantasy-wise to have more upside. And in the real NFL, I think the Chiefs would rather have Damian Williams than Spencer Ware.
No, absolutely. You know, I'm just saying for DFS players, if you're thinking about him as a 95% of the carries, it may be 70%. Yes, he is explosive. Yes, he can do a lot with it. But it's just something to note. Spencer Ware was limited in practice and may be back for the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Scotty, when we come back on the other side of the break, let's dig into this AFC Championship game a little bit more. What do we expect in Arrowhead on the other side of the break? Dane and Scott coming back after this.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day, right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning. We're avoiding all the bombs over Baghdad here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Spitting Statistician and the King holding you down this hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you want to give us a holler and join the show, you certainly can at 844-843-6879. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Spittin' Speed. Scotty's at Scotty Roto X. Also want to let you know, Scotty and everybody else, that the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for the 2019 season with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check out the all new lineup optimizer, custom settings and advanced groupings. There's customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, ownership projections, the PGA finish and simulator. There's outright and top 20 market betting tools, head to head and three ball betting tools, a subscriber chat, and a whole lot more. Go to DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium, choose Golf, and enter the promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium Golf, and enter the promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. All right, Scotty, we are talking about this AFC game where maybe Spencer Ware will play, but Damian Williams is still the lead back, and we understand that. Scotty, the Chiefs are three-point favorites at home, and you know, the saying goes in the betting world that the home team always gets 3 points, right? Just like with that home field advantage. There's some home field advantages that are a little bit more than others, and the guys in Vegas give 3.5, say like to New Orleans in the Dome, let's say, another huge home field advantage up like there in the Pacific Northwest with your 12s. Scotty, is this an even game? Like, you know, the Chiefs are three-point favorites. They have the three-point home field advantage. Like, if this game was played in London or in Mexico City or in Japan, you know, or wherever else the NFL is looking to expand, would this be a pick 'em game in your mind? Do you think this is truly, like, a pretty much even game? Anybody's guess?
I think there's a debate to be made that it is when you look at Brady and Belichick and the postseason experience. But, you know, weather aside, I think the Chiefs are the better team. I think they're more potent. I don't think neither team. The Patriots have a better defense, but it's not a shutdown defense.
Right.
I think the Chiefs are definitely much more explosive, and I think that's obvious. Plus, they have home field advantage. So, if it was on an even field, on a neutral site, I still think I might lead Kansas City.
Okay, and the Chiefs may still be, in some people's opinion, maybe a 1 or 2 point favorite, less than a field goal, definitely. Let me ask you one more thing. We were talking about Spencer Ware. I want to ask you one more injury, Scott. I hope this doesn't get you off guard. But, you know, one of those key defensive pieces for the Chiefs is Eric Berry, their safety. He was inactive last week. Is there any reason to think he might play? Eric Berry?
I honestly don't know if he's going to play.
Okay.
Could be a game time decision.
Okay.
But it's not looking good. But Eric Berry has not played a lot of the year for the Chiefs.
It's true.
Regardless, so you know they've had to learn to cope without him, and the defense just hasn't been good overall. But he's actually going to play. He's going to play. He's actually practicing in full.
Great. Because he was inactive against the Colts last week. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I just wanted to see it. And that's a big difference, Scotty, especially
when
you're
facing the last 2 days before the divisional round game, but he's been practicing in full this week.
Okay, and that's a big thing, especially when you got Rob Gronkowski coming to town, right? You know
really?
What I mean? So, well, I mean, I guess, I mean, you make a valid point. Like, Gronk is a shell of his former self, and I'll give you that. But listen, Scott, he's still a threat. This is still the kind of game where all of a sudden, you know, they summon, you know, they wax poetic and summon the gods and wind up with Gronk, you know, going 5 for 130 and 2 touchdowns. I could still see that. It's possible.
I really don't think he has it in him anymore.
Really?
I really don't. I think it'd still be a red zone threat, but he
right.
You know, but why do you have to stick Eric Berry on him? You know, why waste one of your best defenders on a guy who's just not getting it done? Rob Gronkowski's only scored 3 times this season. You know, that's including the playoffs. Outside of that game against Miami, he had a good game against Indianapolis in Week 5. He's really done squat the whole season.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I have said it on this air. I think you agree, and I know a lot of people think that this may be, you know, if, let's say, Kansas City moves on to the Super Bowl, we may see the last game of Rob Gronkowski's career.
He really started fading in Week 8 on. Like, the numbers were pretty good for Week 1 to Week 6. He had 2 100-yard games this season, but he scored in Week 1. He didn't score again until Week 12.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the Rob Gronkowski we've been accustomed to that we know. But, you know, the guy will have plenty of opportunities if he does walk away from the game and retires. This guy will have plenty of opportunities. Yeah. And this guy will be wearing a gold jacket 5 years from now. You know what I mean? So that's it's all good for Rob Gronkowski.
That's easy to say. Not only as a player, but as a personality. He's
an ambassador for the game.
He's tied with 12 career playoff touchdowns. That's tied with John Stallworth for the second most in postseason history. So in his next one, he sets a record, postseason record.
And maybe they will try to get him that record on Sunday. One question I want to ask you about this game, Scotty. We talk about all the time. You remember yesterday we said Bill Belichick was the coach that we trusted the most out of these four. And one of the things that we said is Bill Belichick always schemes to, you know, kind of take away what you do best, right? To make you play left-handed, you know, that sort of thing. Okay. He's already seen the Chiefs, and the Chiefs put up 40 points in Foxborough against his defense, right? So whatever they tried to do the first time, I would not necessarily say work because they gave up 40 points. What do you think Bill Belichick will focus on or prioritize? In essence, what is the Chiefs' right hand that he's going to try and take away so that they play left-handed? I know our guy Mike Blewett, who I talk to next hour on FST, he really believes that the complete key of this offense is Travis Kelce. He thinks that it's Kelce that actually makes this offense go. And if that's the case, then Belichick maybe is trying to, you know, bracket Kelce or put a linebacker on him but with a safety over the top on Kelce and really try to take away Kelce. Do you agree, Scott, that Kelce is the cog that makes this go and what would be what Belichick tries to take away? Because I sort of think it may be a different game plan to take away someone like Tyreek Hill instead, both in the kind of to scheme to try to defend those end around and quick pop passes, but also have a deep safety so you don't get burned over the top and really allocating a lot of assets to stop Tyreek Hill as opposed to Travis Kelce. What do you think is going to be Belichick's scheme to cook up with, What do you think he's going to try to take away?
We can only guess on game plan, and I see where Mike is coming from, but to me, the key is that if you try to take away Travis Kelce, the Chiefs are going to beat you some other way with Tyreek Hill or somebody else. You know, they do have a really good cover corner in Stephon Gilmore where they can stick up on Tyreek Hill. But to me, the key is making Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable, and how can they do that? Because Mahomes is the one the ball getting to Kelce. Mahomes is the one getting the ball to Hill. So to me, I have to focus on, you know, disguising looks and doing whatever I can to make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. What have I seen on film? When can I go back to the Jacksonville game in week 5 and see what they did on film to have been his worst game of the season? Patrick Mahomes is the one getting the ball to Travis Kelce. He's the one getting the ball to Tyreek Hill. So if you make the quarterback uncomfortable and you throw him off his game somehow, it's going to make the rest of the offense crumble as an effect, I think. But nobody's been able to do that.
Right. But let me ask you this.
Except for Jackson one time.
Yeah, it sounds, though, like, of course, that's easier said than done, right? But I almost think, I don't know if making him uncomfortable is the best thing in the world, Scotty, because it's when he has those off-script plays, right? It's when he's uncomfortable that he then scrambles and makes the crazy huge play. It's when you force him to throw from a weird angle, when you force him to throw like moving to his right and doing something crazy. That's when you get burned almost the worst. Might it instead be the way to actually make him uncomfortable is almost to, similar to like a Russell Wilson, almost try to keep him in the pocket, spy on him almost, and make him beat you as a straight stand and deliver from the pocket. Maybe what you need to take away is his off-script, off-schedule playmaking ability by trying to actually keep him in the pocket.
That's, you know, that's definitely one way to look at it. When I said uncomfortable, I didn't mean that was going to I didn't mean that was going to say force him into unusual throws, because obviously they can do that. It's up to Belichick to come up with what does make him uncomfortable. That's one way to look at it, whereas Russell Wilson over the years has proved he can kill you from the pocket. Two, have we seen enough of that with Mahomes? Mahomes is very creative on the run, if he gets the time to throw as well from the pocket, he can beat people. It's really watching the film, and for Belichick, who has even a much higher mind on this stuff than we do, how exactly is he going to do that? But that's the guy that he has to focus in on, I believe.
Okay, fair enough. Let's take it from the other side. Let's say you are, you're over in Kansas City. What are you trying to take away? What do you think would be the most prudent game plan? You say that Gronk doesn't require as much focus anymore, and I completely agree with you, right? What is it? To be quite honest, is it trying to make sure that you stop James White out of the backfield? You know, what is going to be the one thing you're trying to take away if you're the Chiefs defense?
If I was looking at it,
is it bracketing Edelman?
It'd probably be the bracketing Edelman or taking away James White. But again, really good pass rush last week, and we've seen over history where if you hit and harass Brady, it's going to throw him off his game. And I think from a straight ahead perspective, the Chiefs have the ability to do that. I think what they need to do is contain the running game and put Brady into adverse passing situations where they can bring their front four after him.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but we're starting to see all these crazy weather reports. We're here in the New York City area. It's supposed to get we're supposed to get a combo double dose of snow leading up into the weekend, and it's supposed to be really cold. That's the weather that's coming across the plains right now. For example, Scotty, our boy Davis Maddock, right, over on rotoexperts.com. He's got a great new article out, strategy notes for football, playoff fantasy football, as we go into the conference championship weekend. And he's saying that, he was on Sony Michel last week, and his three touchdowns. He's saying that he thinks Sony Michel is still going to be low-owned and that this game script, it's similar things to what I was talking about with, Marlon Mack last week. Maybe trying to punch these Chiefs in the mouth, right? The Chiefs can get pass rush, but that's guys like Dee Ford and Justin Houston from the edge. Up the middle, they may be, you may be able to do a little bit with them or against them. So maybe we see a little bit more of Sony Michel. And we have been talking about the evolution of this offense and how Sony Michel, Scotty, you talked about how you consider Sony Michel like a high-end RB2 for next year when we were going through those solid, comfortable guys. We got to 9 that we really like as RB1s. Another three or four that our guys, are in that next tier. Guys like the Kerryon Johnsons, the Nick Chubbs of the world. And then it sounded like you think Sony Michel is going to be right around, RB15 maybe next year, a very good RB2. And could that be a big part of the Patriots game plan this year? Again, time of possession, keep Patty Mahomes off the field. And, if it's 20 degrees out there in Arrowhead, maybe time to punch somebody in the mouth.
It has to be. It has to be. Their running backs are there outside of Edelman, the keys to their offense, and you saw it last week. When these teams met week 6, he had 106 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. So, the key could be for the Chiefs is you have to stop the run. You got to put Brady in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, and then come after him. I think that's the key. It might be a more attention to the run and the running backs. Linebackers are going to be very important for them. Strong safety is going to be very important for them. Because I believe if the Chiefs get out to a lead of 13 points or more, that it's going to be very hard for New England to play catch up. Although I don't see this game becoming that sort of blowout.
Gotcha. I mean, both of these teams are also equipped to come back if they needed to with the quarterbacks that they do have. Let me ask you about a couple of wide receivers.
I don't think the Patriots are built to play catch up. They really don't have a don't have a downfield threat. They're a short passing team.
But if I told you the Pats are going to put up 34 points on Sunday, you would think that's very feasible, right?
I'd say that's a little bit above what I expect.
You know, all right. So let me ask you about wide receivers real quick in this game. Going again in Davis Maddox's article, right? He's actually saying two things, mostly because of ownership percentages and stuff that he expects. He's saying maybe actually avoid Julian Edelman because he's going to be so highly owned, and to your point, that the Pats may really go through their running backs. And he's saying that Sammy Watkins on the other side is actually what he calls, he says he's a lock, especially because maybe being under-owned as other people look to grab Damian Williams and Travis Kelce as other Chiefs. What do you think about that with the ownership percentages? Maybe zig when other people zag and don't roster Edelman right now and instead look to a guy like Sammy Watkins, especially just because of the ownership percentages.
We're talking about Davis Maddox's new article on rotoexperts.com right now with his conference championship playoff fantasy football strategies for games like the NFFC Playoff Challenge, FFPC, NFL.com Playoff Challenge, where it's not daily, it's playoff games. And if you're behind, you have to differentiate yourself if you're trying to catch up in the standings in a league with a multiplier sort of format right now. So That makes it a lot of sense. Go after the guys that are not widely owned.
Yeah, absolutely. And just last thing, talking about Edelman, it seems like Edelman is like really carrying this like we're the underdog mantle, right? There's like this, he made these shirts like bet against us. I think it's so hysterical that the Pats are trying to play the, the we're the underdog, the like, oh, woe is us kind of card. These are the Patriots. Last time I checked, this is their eighth straight AFC championship game. Like, maybe like this is their bulletin board material, like they're trying to rally themselves. But I find it hysterical that they're trying to frame themselves as the underdog. Huh, Scotty?
I don't think it's – I guess I could see it from that perspective. But I think he's talking more about where everybody's predicting the demise of the Patriots – and wanting to see it happen. He's kind of railing against that. And who better to do it than Edelman? He's looking for his 12th playoff game in a row with five or more catches. Now, how safe can he get?
No, absolutely. That's part of the reason why we expect him to be very highly owned this week. And maybe part of the reason why, if you want to be contrarian, you got to zig in other places. I would say the same thing about Michael Thomas, who's going to be very highly owned as well. When we come back, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go a little bit into the other game on Sunday, the NFC game, and we'll see what Davis Maddox has to say about that one. Dane and Scott on Roto Experts in the Morning. Come on right back.
Fantasy Sports Today.
If I was Joe Flacco, if I was Cliff Kingsbury, I would bring him into Arizona. You want to bring in a veteran who's maybe towards the end of the line that could be decent if Rosen cannot hold on to the starting job, if he gets injured, and somebody could help tutor the kid. Joe Flacco in Arizona would be a really nice fit.
A guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick do something similar.
He's probably better tutoring somebody than say, look, don't do what I do, and don't be a gunslinger. I can see Fitzpatrick being that kind of guy, too.
Weekdays, 8 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
New year, new you. Yeah, you hear that saying every single New Year's Day, right? But it takes money to get that new you for the new year. You need money for that gym membership. You need money to buy the expensive, healthier groceries. And you need money to go on that awesome vacation with the cute girl or guy in your office. But there is something to help you get that money, and it's free. When you download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, you get to listen to the best fantasy sports analysis 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for free. Fantasy analysis, betting odds, and plenty of entertainment to help you get that money you need to start your New Year's journey. Go to the iTunes or Google Play Store, download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, and start listening to the best fantasy sports and betting analysis in the industry. We want you to drop those holiday pounds. We want you to take that awesome vacation, and we want to see you start 2019 right by downloading the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're here to give you that cash to start a new year with a new you.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane and Scott holding you down. I got to let you know, Scotty, if you want to wager on sports, or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your DFS skills without salary cap constraints. You can wager on esports. You can wager on politics. You know, for example, like the next champions that come in, will they be eating McDonald's or Pizza Hut, for example, or even reality TV? You can get an edge with live betting at BetDSI when you can wager virtually at any time during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are so many ways you can make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up. You'll get 100% bonus deposit match. So head on over, open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101, and you'll get your 100% deposit match. All right, Scotty, let's get into the NFC side. We talked a little bit about the AFC side, how Edelman is someone maybe to be contrarian against because of, you know, the focus on him. We're talking about how the Chiefs may look to try to focus on a guy like White or a guy like Edelman. We're saying how the Pats may try to focus on, you know, making Patty Mahomes uncomfortable. Let's apply that same stuff now to the NFC Championship game, where the Saints are 3.5-point favorites at home. The total has gone down about half a point. It's now at 56.5. But I ask you, if you're the Saints defense, who you like? I know you like the Saints defense, although Sheldon Rankins, the loss of him is huge. I cannot overstate that enough, guys. The loss of Sheldon Rankins means a lot to this Saints defense. And so with that being said, Scotty, how are you adjusting? Like, who's Marshawn Lattimore on? Is it Cooks? Is it Woods? What's your focus here? Are you trying to take away Gurley? Do you know it's harder because of no Rankins? Are you committing something extra in the box? What are you doing if you're the Saints defense?
The Saints haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher since week 11 of 2017. And so this is strength for strength.
Yeah, but they don't have Sheldon Rankins. Isn't that a big part of the strength?
Still, but, you know, Sheldon Rankins is the only guy that anchors the defense. They're going to have to prove that other guys to step up. It's not a one-man. It's a big loss.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just throwing out a stat. I'm not saying they're going to necessarily look that good. So when you look on paper, it's strength for strength. But, you know, the point I was trying to get to was that you know, the Rams want to expose the lack of Sheldon Rankins up the middle. So it's very hard to attack the Saints because to attack the Rams defensively, because if you try to stop the run, they can beat you in the air and vice versa. They such have terrific offensive balance. But Jared Goff, you really want to put the game in the hands of Jared Goff. He doesn't have Cooper Kupp. He's got right. Cooks and he's got Woods. But if they have so much offensive balance like they did last week, they're going to be very hard to beat. So I think you have to keep Gurley and Anderson in check. And, you know, they have two pretty good corners in Lattimore and Eli Apple, who's right. played really well since they came to New Orleans, and let their corners go one-on-one with those wide receivers and see what happens there.
Yeah, I agree with you. What I would do is even more, like, you know, and I'm getting this off my experience when we had, as a Jets fan, when we had the shutdown corner that was like Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie. What a lot of teams do, Scotty, is they actually take their number one corner, in this case Lattimore, and put him on the number two receiver. Right. And then know you have your two corner on the stud because you know you're giving that guy safety help anyway. With that kind of rationale, I actually put Lattimore on Woods because Cooks is the guy maybe over the top. Cooks is the guy that I'm going to need the safety, you know, kind of support at the, you know, deep down the field anyway. I actually throw Lattimore and I tell him, you go shadow Robert Woods. And I say, Eli, you're on Cooks, but we're going to give you some deep safety help. And if I'm the Saints, I know Rankins is out. I know, like, telling them to, you know, allowing them to just feed Gurley is maybe not the recipe for success, but I would play more the bend, don't break. I would make the Rams drive all the way down the field and try to do it with Gurley in the run game.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but you also have to look at it is that do we know that they're going to play man? You know, this
no,
team plays a lot of cover three.
Right.
So, you know, it's just going to be about, okay, how are the Rams moving their guys around and how do the Saints react?
Okay. Let's take the same approach on the other side. If you are Wade Phillips, right? And, you know, you got your beasts in the middle, Sue and Donald. You have your one legit shutdown corner in Aqib Talib. And you also know that Sean Payton likes the matchup against Marcus Peters, quote unquote, a lot. What are you doing if you're Wade Phillips?
Well, they do get Aqib Talib back, and right. he didn't play in the first game. You know, how are the Rams going to attack this? Is Talib going to see more of Michael Thomas? You know, that wouldn't surprise me. McVay was talking, you know, with Wade Phillips, et cetera, we're talking about, you know, that guy leads the secondary. He's in charge of all the communication. So I think they're going to have something to keep Michael Thomas, at least try to keep him in check. I know Marcus Peters with his pride wants to be one-on-one with him again, but it's probably not the best idea when you look at the next-gen stats. There's such big differences between him and Talib.
Oh, yeah.
But also, there's other ways that the Saints can beat you. You know, they have two running backs that are very, very good. I'd be very worried about Alvin Kamara if I was the Rams, because I think that their linebackers are going to have a hell of a time with him.
Exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Scott. You know, with the Rams defense, we know about that line, right? We know about Donald and Sue, and to a lesser extent, Brockers and Fowler and stuff like that. We know about Aqib Talib, you know, and to a lesser extent, I guess, Marcus Peters. But listen, the Rams were 14th against the pass this season. They were 23rd against the run. You know what I mean? So whether that's Ingram with the ball or whether that's what I think you're getting at, a way to attack this linebacker level of the defense is with a guy like Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. I think that can be very, very big. Are you, Scotty, let me ask you this, though. As I look at this game, you know, and I look at the entire slate, Alvin Kamara is the second most expensive running back on FanDuel this week behind only Todd Gurley. I know yesterday you said you liked that combo play with the Saints winning the game and Kamara getting over 50 receiving yards. Are you paying up for Kamara in DFS this week?
I feel like I have to. And on some sites, I might be able to get a discount more with James White, who's just not...
On FanDuel, Kamara is 8,100. Kamara's 8,100. James White is the third most expensive running back this weekend, $400 cheaper. Kamara's 8,100. James White, 77. At the top is Gurley at 85. Right beneath White is Sony Michel at 75. Damian Williams at 72. And my, how times have changed after a week. C.J. Anderson at 65. Check this out, Scotty. C.J. Anderson at 6,500. Mark Ingram at 6,100.
Yeah. Look,
I right now have Mark Ingram and James White as my two running backs.
Yeah, I'd be okay with going with Kamara and Ingram.
With both of them?
Yeah.
Both Saints running backs. Interesting. Yep. Right now, in my lineup, I have Ingram and James White as my two running backs. And then I'm going right now, as of now, and it may change, obviously. Right now, I have Edelman, Woods, and someone else who I wanted to ask you about again. We were just talking about how Aqib Talib needs to be maybe a little bit more on Michael Thomas, right, to try to take away, you know, the stud who caught more balls in the NFL than anybody else. They like the matchup against Marcus Peters. I'm going to go right back to my well here, Scotty. What do you think about my boy Ted Ginn Jr. this week? If it seems like Sean Payton wants to attack Marcus Peters, especially if Marcus Peters, we know Marcus Peters also. Marcus Peters, even when he was with the Chiefs, he had a reputation of being a quarterback that would gamble, right? That would try to make the pick six, that would jump routes. Ted Ginn is a speedster. If I told you right now, Scotty, that we're going to see a stop and go to Ted Ginn, we're going to see a double move with Ted Ginn if Marcus Peters is on him because Talib is going to be on Michael Thomas. If I could create a prop bet over on my bookie, like, they will have multiple attempts at a double move to Ted Ginn if Marcus Peters is on him. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, they were able to get him open a few times last week, and we get one, but might be a better pair of corners in Dallas.
Breeze underthrew him.
They weren't able to connect, and the attempts are going to be there more this week. We can't predict spontaneous execution, but it does look like a good matchup.
Yep, and even in the game last week against Philly, remember, Ginn had 7 targets. They completed less than half of them, right? And I don't think that's sustainable, especially with a guy like Drew Brees, who just broke the completion percentage record, you know, this year. But
his own record,
games,
yeah.
Right, fair enough. Well, didn't – it was his own record. Didn't someone –
Yeah, it was 72%. It was 72% last year.
Oh, okay, yeah. There you go. So, like, all that to mean, you know, Ted Ginn caught 3 balls, but on 7 targets last week. You know, it's safe to say that they're going to convert more than 50% of those targets this week, and he is the big play guy. I'm telling you guys, I'm on again, Teddy Ginn Jr. at 5,300. But you buy that too, right, Scotty? You think that could be a way to attack Marcus Peters with the speedster that is Ted Ginn Jr. Let me ask you about this game also in another way. Davis Maddock, our boy over here, is saying Patty Mahomes might be the chalk. And if you're chasing, you may need to go to Drew Brees instead of Patty Mahomes because Patty Mahomes is going to be heavily owned, but you still get the opportunity of having Brees in the dome. Do you like him as the somewhat contrarian play? Because Mahomes is going to be so highly owned. You like Brees?
No, he's probably ranked 4th out of all the quarterbacks for
really?
Me this weekend.
Tell me why.
You know, last 4 games, he didn't throw more than 1 touchdown pass. He only threw 2 last week. I don't think this team needs him to air it out necessarily. You know, there could be a script. You can't predict game flow where he might have to open it up more.
Mm.
But, you know, this is not a high-flying offense necessarily. It's very balanced. If anything, you know, we talked about the game plan. The Saints might try to stop the run, and that could put the game in the hands of Goff.
Interesting.
So I think if you want to go on a play that's not highly owned, I might be more Jared Goff than I am Drew Brees.
Interesting. And let me ask you this, though, because we're talking about the quote-unquote contrarian in plays and being off the radar. With only 4 games, with only 4 teams left, is there a contrarian play? Like, Scotty, you know, let's say Goff is the lowest owned of these 4. Let's just say. Isn't he still going to be something like 20% owned?
I guess, you know, if you want to get into terminology, he's the least popular pick, I think, and that's okay. What I would go with.
All right. But what if my approach was to hell with his ownership percentage? I want Patty Mahomes regardless. Like, do we have to, you know, try to get the low-owned players, or are there some players that, regardless of if they're going to be 55% owned or not, it doesn't matter because you need to get them in your lineups. Just because everyone's on them, maybe you need to be on the gravy train as well. Could that be the case with a guy like Mahomes or a guy like Edelman or a guy like Michael Thomas, perhaps?
Yeah. You could do that, but then the rest of your lineup, you know, has to have other difference makers.
Right.
You could still have Mahomes in there. I mean, dictionary definition of contrarian is to oppose
against
or reject popular opinion, rejecting popular opinion. So I don't think popular opinion is that Jared Goff is the guy you want this week. So in essence, he is contrarian, but you can't go contrarian in other positions. If you know, it's not a hard set guideline where it's definitely go away from Mahomes. You know, that's one way that Davis throws it out there, mm-hmm. and that's a guideline, and that could very well work. But you could also go contrary to what Davis is saying, and stick Mahomes in there, and then go with all other lesser owned guys.
Right. To use your Webster's Dictionary thing, right? It's going against popular opinion or the majority opinion, right? And if technically speaking, Scotty, and you're a copy editor, you know about this language and semantics. Technically speaking, if Patty Mahomes is like 52% owned and over 50%, doesn't that actually make all the other quarterbacks contrarian? Because they are all against the majority opinion. If Patty Mahomes is more than 50%, isn't that the majority opinion? And then thus anything else is contrarian? Even if it's Brees, Brady, or Goff?
Well, Goff is more contrarian than the rest.
Relatively speaking,
yes.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, Scotty. We haven't talked much about this. In a DFS world, we just spent some time thinking about, like, if you were this team's defensive coordinator, what would you try to do? Right. I guess my question for you is, who's going to be the most successful at that. When I look at DFS options, right, for defenses, there's only four choices, you know, and they're on FanDuel, at least there's a difference of only like $600. They go Saints at 4,600, Chiefs at 44, Rams at 42, and then Pats at 4,000. Both of these, all of these teams are facing, or all of these defenses are facing opponents that have the potential to light them up, right? So how are you picking a defense? Or like, do you just go with the cheapest one because all of them are going to give up points? Like, what are you looking for fantasy defenses this week?
I'm looking for sacks and turnovers. So, okay. You know, that's not
who
what
brings
I look
the pressure?
For with points allowed. So Kansas City, if it's very cold, and they're going to get pressure on Brady, though, who's still, you know, was sacked, I think, the third least amount of times during the regular season, though.
Right.
They're going to try to get pressure on him. You know, I don't think they're big in terms of turning the ball over either. But I have to take a look at the Chiefs. But I think the Saints are probably the best pure defense on paper.
Yeah, and that's why they are the highest priced defense, right? When you talk about sacks and turnovers, though, you know, and you mentioned the Chiefs, like, I just don't have faith that Tom Brady's going to throw a pick, you know, and I think that there's more chance of Patty Mahomes turning it over because, as we've talked about before, he's kind of more reckless, shall we say, or that gunslinger. They've all come up heads in those coin flips so far, but might there be a better chance of Patty Mahomes actually suffering a turnover than a guy like Tom Brady?
Yeah, he the first time that he faced the Patriots, he got intercepted twice.
So is that an argument for the Pats defense? They're also the cheapest one on the board out of the four.
Yes, yeah, that certainly is an argument for it. But I think the biggest thing you have to look at is, you know, you look at takeaway giveaway differential. Yeah. During the regular season, the Rams were fourth. The Patriots were fifth, Kansas City was sixth, New Orleans was seventh. So
wow,
yeah.
So turnovers are important, you're saying?
Yeah, but I'm saying they're all close. Now, in terms of just the total takeaways, New Orleans was easily the best. They were third. Kansas City and New England were tied for seventh, and the Rams were tied for 11th. So I'd probably lean towards the Saints.
Interesting. I would take it to one of the AFC game teams, you know, give me something in 20-degree weather as opposed to the dome. But I digress. We'll talk about it more and make our official picks tomorrow, Scotty.
Third. Yeah, okay.
Have a great fantasy day, brother, man.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The only free 24/7 fantasy sports radio network.